I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 12. I think you'll be convinced if you read through this book of the Bible, this particular book, the apostle is dealing with Christians and the Christian life. So much emphasis on living the Christian life. The Bible says, beginning with verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark that expression in verse 18, would you please? In everything give thanks. Now the Bible does not say for everything gives thanks, but it says in everything give thanks. And I'd like to give this sermon just in a statement. When the Word of God says in everything give thanks, God is saying to us, don't forget God and His goodness. It's not about gratitude, it's about God who produces gratitude. It's not about thankfulness, it's about recognition of God, and we can't help but be thankful. God is with us. In everything, give thanks. I think at times I'd like to take these two verses, verses 12 and 13, and give them to all of our church to memorize, not just for the preacher. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Remember those who are admonishing you, and to esteem them very highly in love. Notice God says it, for their work's sake. For their work's sake. Not because of who they are. Not because of the education they may have or the clothing they wear or the way they may look or not look. But because they're doing my work. And for their work's sake, esteem them very highly in love. Our attitude toward God's man in a church is a great reflection of our attitude toward God and our gratitude for God for what He's done. When the Lord speaks to your heart through a testimony or a song or a sermon, we may say, "Well done, singers," or "Well done, person giving a testimony," or "God used you in that message." But what we're really saying is, the Lord is still dealing with me. God is still speaking to me. I'm still hearing from heaven. And I'm thrilled that I'm still hearing from heaven. God hasn't forgotten me. He gives these instructions that ought to be heeded. "Brethren, warn them that are unruly." If you're unruly, you need a warning. "Comfort them who are feeble-minded." Comfort the feeble-minded. And there are people always fainting, ready to throw in the towel, ready to quit. You need comfort. "Support the weak. Be patient toward all men." And you know our patience wears thin, but we're to be patient toward all men. Think of that. God is patient with us, and we're to be patient with all men. Rejoice evermore. That's given in the form of a command. Often when I'm having a tough time of it, Evelyn will say to me, sing. And I'll say, I don't feel like singing. She says, that's why you should sing. And she says, sing something about the Lord. It'll help you. And it does. When the Word of God says pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean that we just constantly are on our knees in prayer. I believe he's saying to us here, don't stop praying. Daniel had his times of prayer, and even under threat of death, he wouldn't stop praying. Paul is penning these words to these Christians saying, don't cease to pray. Believe God in prayer. And then in everything, give thanks. I want you to mark two other verses, if you would, in your Bibles before we have finished. In 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, my wife came home one day from a ladies' conference. This has been more than 35 years ago. And she heard a woman speak who'd had a broken heart over one of her children. A story we've heard repeated many times. And I listened as she nearly rehearsed every word the woman said. But then Evelyn went to retrieve her Bible and opened her Bible and said, this is a verse she gave, and I want to give it to you, speaking to me. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the 15th verse. Remember, Paul said, in everything give thanks. And God says in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for all things are for your sakes. That's been a transforming thought in my life. That I need to look beyond secondary things, as Dr. Sells says, and I need to see God's hand in the thing. This is not against me, this is for me. Can you imagine what Brother Dustman's been talking about and God saying, all things are for your sakes? Would you like to just take one of those things off the list? You see, the Lord has eternity in view, heaven in view. His work is not a time work, it is a timeless work. It's an eternal work. We're not finished here. Even when we're finished here, we're not finished here. Not if the Bible is true, we're going to rule and reign with the Lord. All things are for your sakes. And then back to Dr. Robertson's verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. Let's put them together. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything, don't lose sight of God. In everything, don't lose sight of God. Give thanks. Why? Because all things are for your sake. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Now let's summarize it. Would you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 42? Bad news again. Poor old Jacob, God bless him. Will the bad news ever stop? His son, his beloved Joseph, taken from him, and his wicked sons told him that a wild beast has devoured him. And now, Simeon is not coming home. And Benjamin, the baby. Benjamin, son of my right hand. He's got to go. And the poor man says in verse 36 of Genesis 42, and Jacob their father said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. Mark this statement. All these things are against me. All these things are against me. But it wasn't long before he learned that it was God who allowed Joseph to be taken, to use Joseph as a prince in Egypt, to prepare a breadbasket for the world, and to save his own family. It was God who used this incident with Simeon and with Benjamin to prepare Jacob's family, his sons, to receive what God had for them. And the old man with a broken heart, I'm sure, had every intention of speaking the truth. And from the way he saw it, from his perspective, he said, all these things are against me. But you and I have the advantage of the whole story. And we could say, no, all these things are for you. God did all these things for you. And with your trip to the hospitals and your brokenheartedness, can you imagine that there's a God who is all wise and who is bold enough to say, all things are for your sakes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And when you're going through those things, in everything, give thanks. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Because our God is not against us. Our God is for us. A million times more than we could ever understand. Our God is for us. And all the dirty devil wants to do is to get us to get a bad attitude toward our God. It's not the incident. It's not the heartache. He wants us to turn against our God. And so, in everything, give thanks. In everything, let us not take our eyes off the Lord and remember that he's for us.